T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. NFL Draft Week, we cranking it off starting today and then come Thursday. Round one of the draft. You can hear all that coverage live right here on the Big 870. Also free on the Odyssey app. Day two, we'll have the second and third rounds. And then we'll be at Rouse's Markets out in Metairie on Powers Boulevard. We'll be there Saturday from rounds four through round seven. We'll have all the coverage of all the picks by the Saints and every other team. We'll go down each and every pick as they come through to us and give you all the coverage you're looking for. NFL draft season is really closing in fast.
Woo-hoo.
And so, Charlie, a man last night with the Pels had an opportunity.
Oh, man.
We talked about how this team has matched up well against OKC. The thing with OKC is they are, I think, a really talented team. They have not really walked down that basketball court. And so you saw last night a little bit of it. Man, they got cold. The Pelicans got cold. Numerous opportunities for the Pels last night. Four shots at it and didn't get it, and then a block. And then CJ with a really good look late after kind of bobbling the ball a bit and takes a shot. It hits off the back of the rim and doesn't go in. But 94-92, I thought the Pels' defense really played well in this game. The offense didn't hold up, but their defense really did a great job up against OKC. And, again, I think OKC is a super talented team. They just have not been in this opportunity and spot before. And like the Pelicans, it's like mirror images of one another in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so OKC is pretty interesting, Mike, to your point about them not walking down the aisle yet. You want a fun stat via StatMuse? OKC is the youngest one seed in NBA history.
I believe that.
Their average age is 23.4. And the previous record via StatMuse was the 2004-2005 Suns, 25.2. So they're almost 2 years younger than the youngest one seed in NBA history. Super talented, as you mentioned, Mike. But, you know, the matchup was kind of there. If you looked at the first round of the playoffs over the weekend, every single home team won, and a majority of the games were blowouts. Most of them were by double digits, except for the Pelicans and Thunder. That was a super, super tight game. But Ali Cassell came on Tommy Tucker's show earlier this morning, and he had a great point about the Pelicans' struggles in clutch time. And that's been popping up.
0-24 when they're behind in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Shows up.
And this was similar almost to the game against the Lakers where they were trailing entering the fourth quarter. This felt like the game where that would finally break that trend, right? They would finally pick up that win. They go on that 5-0 push. OKC calls a timeout. They're up by 2 points with 3.5 minutes left to go on the road. They're looking to steal that game one. And once again, if you're looking at the other games over the weekend, they were mostly blowouts. The Pelicans were in one of the best positions to steal a road game one of any team in the NBA playoffs. And then they struggled in clutch time. Once again, it's a problem that's popped up a bunch. I mean, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, and it wasn't just the two of them either. Like, a bunch of turnovers just cropped up. Here's the possessions from the point where they took
but
that night.
Getting cold.
Not just getting cold, but the turnovers.
The turnovers were there, but, man, they were cold with shots and then nothing falling. You get four opportunities at it.
I was about to say, there was that one possession. So let me go take you possession by possession. Turnover, the block dunk. You remember that when Larry was going for a jam and Chet Holmgren blocked it. You know, the contact, we'll talk about the officiating, I feel like, later on in the show. it was so inconsistent. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And if you listen to Joel Myers and AD last night like I did, you know what that, how they felt about it, and I felt the same way. After the charge, the Brandon Ingram charge on Lou Dort, which I thought was a flop by Dort, and the way that they had been calling it so physical all night, and in that moment where you're up by 2 points, you can still stretch that lead to maybe two possessions, they call a charge. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ties it on the other end, so we're at 90-90. Then the Pelicans had three different missed three-pointers in the same possession. It was offensive board after offensive board after offensive board, and they couldn't score. It felt like the lid just came on the rim at the worst possible time. And at that point, you kind of felt, okay, well, the Pelicans had their shot, and they missed it. And Coach Green said after the game, just like, look, like in those moments, we just need to hit shots. They weren't exactly even bad looks. Maybe they were a little bit rushed at the point because they were just trying to desperately get that lead back after Shai had just tied the game. None of them dropped, Mike. And so you're looking at the game. Is it a missed opportunity? Yeah, probably. But at the same time, you're feeling pretty confident, I think, in yourselves that you went to OKC and you did one thing that worked out really well. OKC is not a good rebounding team. They're a great shooting team. So the fact that you still kind of had a success on the boards and you held them quiet from three-point range.
94 points.
Yes. You held them quiet from three-point range, though. That's what really stood out to me. That's a good sign of things to come with this series. I think it's going to be a lot more competitive than a lot of people may have thought heading into it.
Too many mistakes, though. Man, the turnovers were just absolute killers for them. And again, a missed opportunity here. Two very young teams sort of going at it. And again, I think OKC is going to take the series, but I think the matchups are there. We talked about how they matched up against Sacramento, despite the fact that 0-5 and then it now became 0-6. The fact that you matched up well, I think that when you don't win a game, when you're losing entering the fourth quarter, that's almost the same thing as the matchup, Charlie. Almost the exact same thing. It sort of follows you the entire way.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people in OKC were really pleased that they didn't have to play the Lakers because the Lakers bully them. And we talk about matchups all the time. And that was the main thing when you were looking at specifically the Western Conference, where every team is good. Every team in the Western Conference playoffs is good. So it comes down to matchups, which teams match up well against others. But then sometimes when postseason play comes around and the playoffs start, you can throw them out the window. I thought that the Suns were a good matchup for Minnesota. They had beat them by double digits twice, and then they get blown out by 25 in game one. So,
you know, it wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't. And so postseason play is just a little bit different, Mike.
Just a tad different. And certainly the big news story or sports story over the weekend, finally, the first time ever, the LSU Woo-hoo! Women's gymnastics team bring home a national championship. My old friend Didi Bro came close so many times, wasn't able to do it. But, man, you talk about some pressure down the stretch, so to speak. LSU's women came through big, winning their first ever national championship. And when we come back, we'll have the assistant coach for the LSU gymnastics team. Ashley Natt will join us, former gymnast herself. And she'll talk to us about, man, what it took to get there, and also, man, what a win. What a win for the gals. And so congratulations to the LSU women's gymnastics team to bring home a national championship for Coach Clark. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, she's a former gymnast at LSU, now an assistant coach for the Lady Fighting Tigers gymnastics team, and Ashley Natt. One thing you can say now, you're a national championship winning team at LSU, first time ever. So thank you for being on with us here on the Big 870 WWL, and congratulations. What a win. I didn't know a lot about gymnastics other than watching it on TV. Grandkids change your life. So I got a granddaughter that's involved. She's under 10. But I see the moments and the pressure that gets put on you a little bit to perform. My goodness, that last 20 minutes to 30 minutes of watching, you almost were like there with them. So first of all, yeah. Ashley, congratulations on being a big part of this. I know that you were a gymnast when Dee Dee was there. Dee Dee came so close, and it was great to see Coach Clark kind of honor Dee Dee at the end also.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It definitely was a huge weekend, very special for this program, for this university, but especially for our team and our girls who have worked really hard all year to just be able to go out there and lay it all on the line and come up with the victory. It was unreal. I think it's still setting in a little bit. Doesn't really feel quite real yet. It was unbelievable. Just can't say enough about our group and how proud we are of them and everything that they've accomplished.
It's amazing to see the talent and how close it is and you know, what it took to get that national championship. And those last couple of young ladies on that beam, it was like, whew, I'm glad it's over with. But my goodness, Haley Bryant is unbelievable, isn't she?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, this team has been unreal, I think, start to finish. But Haley is definitely just the cream of the crop. She is a real gem just as a person and as an athlete. And so to be able to see her go out there and compete the way that she trains every single day, just selflessly and for her teammates, and she leads them every single day. And so it's cool to watch her just go out there and perform the way that she knows how. And so she's a real treasure, that's for sure.
Ashley, kind of tell everybody how the recruiting goes with this, because I've heard they're recruiting young ladies when they're like in the eighth, ninth grade to come to an LSU or to a college. When they were recruiting you, when did it start? And kind of the buildup in the recruiting to piece together this very talented team.
Yeah, of course. So recruiting throughout the years has changed and our rules have changed. So when I was being recruited, it was very common to be recruited as a junior or senior. And then we went through a period after that where we started recruiting really early, eighth grade and ninth grade. And then a few years ago, we recently got it changed back so that we're recruiting juniors again. So we're definitely not recruiting that young anymore. Obviously, we're always keeping our eyes out for talent, we're fortunate that once we start communicating with them going into their junior year of high school. And so someone like Haley was recruited in eighth grade. However, our freshmen were recruited as juniors. And so that just depends on the rule changing and the timing of it all. And so I think recruiting is obviously a huge part of everything that we do. Jay and Garrett Griffith, they are phenomenal recruiters, and I'm fortunate that I get to learn from them and be on the road with them as we go through this experience. And so just to be able to go out there, and now we have this under our belt, so to be able to just talk to young athletes about how cool it is to be an LSU gymnast and to be a national champion is very special. So we're definitely looking forward to getting on the road here pretty soon and being out and about across the country recruiting young athletes.
Ashley, as a former gymnast yourself, those final moments, the emotions and things that were going between the ears, because you can't do anything at that stage.
Right.
Okay, when you were a gymnast, you could do something about it, but you can't now. You're a coach, and you have to rely on them. But what was going through your head in those final moments?
The way that I would describe it is more feelings than it is thoughts. It was a very cool rotation, just to watch. We've trained all year long for this, you know. Balance beam is an event that we have to do at every single meet. And so we went to Florida halfway through the season, and we weren't able to really close out that meet on Beam very well. And so I think our girls have learned a lot meet to meet about how to compete on Beam and how to handle those moments. And so going into that final rotation, I've known for weeks. I've known since our draw that we were going to end that meet on Beam. And so just watching them prepare leading up to that moment, and we've done the work in the gym. And so putting trust in them, I think, is definitely the most important thing that I could be doing at that time, and just treating it like it was normal and like it was the Beam rotation that we do every single week. And so trusting and believing in our preparation and allowing them to go out there and compete the way that they know how. But I think what really came across was the selflessness of the group, and just the way that they are committed to one another and being able to put their head down and not only win the national title on Beam, but also set an NCAA record score. They did that for each other, and they did that for LSU. And so it's absolutely one of the most special moments I will never forget in my whole life.
Ashley, you were gymnast at LSU, and Dee Dee Brill was there, and Dee Dee came so close numerous times. I thought it was a great gesture by Jay to have Dee Dee there and sort of celebrate with her. She kept this program sort of above water at times when there was a couple ADs would have sort of jettisoned the program if he could have, but he couldn't at that particular point. But to have Dee Dee there, I thought that was a great moment.
Absolutely. I mean, Dee Dee is the foundation of this program. She started it. She put her blood, sweat, and tears into everything that has been done here for 40 years. And so to be able to share that moment with her, it meant a lot to the alumni. It meant a lot to Jay, and it meant a lot to me, but it definitely meant a lot to her. But she, you know, what we have right now doesn't exist without her and without her hard work, without her fight, without her passion for this state and for this university. And she gave that same type of passion to us and to our coaching staff. And so to be able to spend that moment with her was very special. I completely agree with you. But it was unreal. So I'm glad that we got to be in that moment together.
Okay, if you're the other teams that were involved and you hear that cheering, you can be doing really well, but you hear it too. You know, we might not win this based off of what we're hearing. The thought of that also.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger fans, huh?
Hey, you can
like
hear
it,
them.
Right? There's nothing like the fan base here at LSU. And so to be out there and to have so many fans travel to Dallas and to support us, we felt like they were with us in every moment. We were that last team that got announced on the floor, and it was loud. They were roaring. And so to go to Beam and just to start off and hearing those Tiger fans just having their back, it means a lot to us to have that type of support from the people in the community. And we're getting off the plane, and we start pulling up the bus, and I was like, I am so excited. Like, it was great, and the traveling, the people who were able to come to Dallas and be there with us, but to come back to Baton Rouge and to be able to bring hardware back here, we're just so excited to celebrate with this city.
Ashley, when did you start becoming really involved in gymnastics? how young were you? Because I have a granddaughter. She's 8. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was her first year, so she's into the 9 group now. But when did you first start?
Yeah, so both of my parents are actually former gymnasts.
Yes.
My dad,
I was going to bring
my dad's
that up.
My dad's an LSU alumni, and my mom is an Olympian. And so I was kind of born into doing gymnastics. They own a gymnastics facility in Central Florida. And so I started gymnastics, I mean, really out the gate, but I started competing gymnastics when I was 5 years old.
Okay. Wow.
And yeah, but I was in the gym from the get. I'm pretty sure it was at like 2 weeks. My mom had to go back to work, and I was in the gym and a bouncer. So
there's some genetics there, Ashley. There's some genetics with that.
Yep.
One of the things, I'll let you go with this. I know you have so many other things that you got to take care of, and we appreciate your time here. But Bill Parcells, the old NFL coach, used to always tell people, you know, when they win a championship, he was like, you know what? They can take away your money. They can take away your cars and your house. But the one thing they can't take away, you were the greatest ever at one time. And that's something they'll never be able to take away from you, that you were the very best. And I think, you know, for you, Coach Clark, all the young ladies involved here, that is a special moment.
Absolutely. I cannot tell you how much it means to me to even just be an alumni of this program and to be on the floor with that team, and especially, you know, to work under Jay and all of that. It is more than I can put into words. It makes me speechless. But we are so excited. We are so proud of our team and everything that they have worked for. To see that come to fruition is really a dream come true. They have put in the hours. They've made so many sacrifices. They've worked so hard. And to watch all of that come together in those final moments makes me emotional. It's one of the best experiences. It's absolutely surreal. So we could not be more proud and more happy to just be a part of this national championship winning moment.
Okay, I said that was the last question, but I got one more. How'd you get the nickname Bugs?
Yeah, my last name is Nat. So it's
that
it's
was the connection
when people say Bugs Nat, but my last name is Nat, and so when I was little, my parents were calling me Ash Bug, and shortened to Bugs my whole life. And so when I was being recruited by DDJ, they've only known me as Bugs because they've known me since I was 7 years old. They know my parents, and so when I got to school, I was still Bugs. I was Coach Bugs. I was Bugs through college, and then we start recruiting athletes, and I stick around, and it seems I didn't think that I would be 30 years old and have a nickname, but I'm stuck. Bugs for life.
Yeah, you got it now. You're not going to lose that. That's part of it.
No.
Ashley, again, congratulations. You're a national champ, and that's one thing you can't take away from you. But you're the first, okay? That team was the first to do it. And there is something about that first time. There is something about that. And so congratulations to you, Jay, and all the young ladies involved. It was a great moment to watch.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All righty. Ashley Nat was a former gymnast at LSU and now an assistant coach for the Tigers gymnastics team. How about that, Charlie? First national championship. Came close so many times, weren't able to do it, and to watch the ending of that, man, you were as nervous as could be, because you knew what they had to score to get you that national championship, and those young ladies came through big time for LSU. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in the studio. Again, we want to thank Ashley Nat for joining us, assistant coach at LSU for the gymnastics team, bringing home the first ever national championship for the LSU women's gymnastics team. So I know a bit schedule was busy, so we appreciate her jumping on. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. So I got this kind of A and B to this. This is my first and second round. I think we all agree that left tackle is a priority.
Yes, it is.
But they only have, like, really two potential left tackles coming out of the first round. So if I don't think Alt's going to be there, like I think we all can agree.
No, he won't be there.
No shot.
The Penn State guy, he might be taken as well. So here's my A and B to this, right? So let's say the Penn State left tackle, he's available. We take him, but then in the second round, we go with Breezy's teammate from Clemson, 6'4". His first name's Rook. I can't pronounce the African name, but he's Rook. 6'4", 292, runs like Teron Armstead, 4'8 something. That's plenty good enough, because we got to get the push up the middle. He's not good in runs, just like Breeze. Breeze is not good at the run.
And he's too tall in the saddle. You know who I like there in the second round? Chris Jenkins Jr. from Michigan.
But he can't rush the passer like this kid.
But he can stop the run. And Chris really wasn't asked to be a pass rusher, but he can push the inside pocket. But, man, he knows what to do. Man, I'm getting old. My first year, and somebody actually sent me the evaluation I did. 1984, Joe Alt's dad, John.
Wow.
So they got some years between 84 and then the sun coming out. But I really, you know, I also scouted Chris's dad, who played for the Panthers and also for the Jets. I liked his ability to stop the run and to push that inside pocket. I think he's somebody, and he's always been a guy that, okay, he'll do the dirty work for you. A lot of times interior players, some of them, all they want to do is rush the quarterback, and they don't want to really play the run well. And sometimes, you know, you get high in the saddle, they move you around a little bit. So understand what you're talking about, the Clemson defensive tackle. I think he gets a really nice push up the middle as a pass rusher. But against the run, man, he gets washed out sometimes. He's too much man, so to speak. Just like Mason from LSU. He's way high in the saddle. I can get under his pads and move him around a little bit. Now, can you be taught to get lower? Yes. But I get where you're coming from at the defensive tackle position. I think it's a sneaky need pick in round two. I also feel that same way about safety.
Tyler Newbin, Mike. I think that's kind of been our worst kept secret between the two of us, is that we both really like him at pick 45 for the Saints. Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, he's your 46th guy on your big board. You've made that comp, and I've said it multiple times on the station that, you know, you kind of compared him to a taller Antoine Winfield Jr. And if you're getting a Pro Bowl level safety in the second round, sign me up for that every time that you get the chance to do it. As far as, you know, Chris Jenkins, that's an interesting one. I feel like Chris Jenkins may be kind of in the same area of Fisk, Braden Fisk, where, like, they're both, because we've talked about interior defensive linemen and how they're much more valued now that they're getting paid, that they could both go a little bit higher than we anticipate. I think you have Fisk at like 37, then you have Jenkins at 51.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a slide, but man, look all the defensive tackles that got paid this offseason.
Right.
You talk about, and I'm not talking about lottery money, I'm talking about Powerball money.
But that's what I'm saying. It's almost at this similar spot of wide receivers where teams are going to use those premier picks on these premier positions. So defensive tackle has kind of joined that spot. Last year, the Saints used a first-round pick on Brissett, obviously. And we talked a little bit about Byron Murphy. I like him a lot, but I don't know if he's a guy that I'm taking at 14 necessarily, Mike. Maybe
might
he's
trade back.
Yeah, he's probably like the trade back spot. Like if you trade down into the 20s, you've kind of mentioned Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma.
I think Tyler's a guy to keep an eye on. He's played both left and right. Now, last year he was on the right side. He's also a Senior Bowl guy. And so if you start connecting the dots, the Saints have picked a lot of Senior Bowl guys throughout the years, that might be a consideration. I know James brought up about Patrick Paul from Houston. Okay, he looks the part. I mean, he is a huge man, the longest wingspan of anybody in this draft class. When you watch Houston, did he jump out on tape at you?
Not necessarily.
Okay, he's a great athlete, but okay, as a football player,
you gotta have the production, Mike.
Okay. So I learned this years ago. Jim Finks told me, Mike, don't fall in love with the athlete. Fall in love with the football player. Patrick Paul's going to get picked higher than I think most people have him rated because of the fact he has the numbers that they're looking for.
You have him at like 70, I think, which on your big board, which is like third round kind of. But do you think he's going to be a second round pick?
I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't take much for somebody to fall. Now, he's talking about going in round one.
Oh,
he's
wow.
talking about
no,
doing
no
that. Now, physically, he looks like a first round pick. Offensive tackle.
Yeah.
He really does look like that type of guy, but I don't think he ends up going in round one. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Kevin and Chalmette. Kevin, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, man. How y'all doing? Great.
All right,
so,
Kevin.
As always.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, man, I got a little question about the Dolphins defense. Boy, we added some good pieces on defense, especially on the defensive line at tackle. But my ideal second round pick, I would like the edge rusher from, I think, Western Michigan. His last name's Kamara, because he could play all four spots on the line. Or how's about the big defensive tackle, the other big one on the line for the Longhorns, Sweat, Sweet.
Yeah, big Sweat, boy, he's gotten himself in a little bit of a jam. It was not a secret. Man, he liked to party hardy. And he admitted that. And he'll admit to you, hey, listen, man, I enjoyed a good time, everything else. Then he got caught with a DUI. I think he's not going to go in the second round. You know, a guy that may go in round two for them is Max Melton, a cornerback from Rutgers. They have spent a lot of time on Melton as a player. Now, in round one, I think they go offensive line. There's some holes there. And you need to – if you're going to give a long-term deal to Tua, you better protect him.
Graham Barton is who I like.
And Graham is more of an interior player, center guard. He could play tackle if you needed to. And he's played there for 3 years at Duke at left tackle. But I wouldn't be surprised that like a Tyler Guyton or Graham Barton be the pick. You got to remember, Teron, he's in the final year. He's in the final year that I think of his pro football career. He's had a lot of injuries. Just a great player when he's been healthy. Problem is he's been hurt so much. So I think in round one, offensive line. Second round, you brought up defensive tackle. I'll bring up a cover corner. I think that is in the mix for the Dolphins. And you know one thing with Mike McDaniel, he can't help himself, so to speak. He got to pick an offensive player. So it wouldn't surprise he picked a receiver there also. But do they sign Odell Beckham after the draft?
Well, we know how talented the receiver position is and how deep it is, Mike, and how there's going to be some push down into the second round. I think I only have like five or six receivers going in round one. Maybe six at the most. I was thinking
round two and into the third.
Round two is where like there's going to be a ton of them. But when I was looking at the class, I know how talented it is. I was thinking, how am I not having like eight guys at the position going in the first round? It's like we said, all the talent's going to push into the second because teams can wait and still get a guy that they really like. For the Dolphins, I think their second pick is in the early 50s or mid 50s. Maybe someone like Ricky Pearsall if they really want to go receiver. I like him a lot. You know, some different guys there. But there's so much talent. Xavier Leggett is another guy to keep an eye on, too, if they're going receiver in the second round.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's been brought up with the Saints. He's a big,
thickly
built receiver that can get downfield. Ready to go to the biggest ever Jazz Fest? Experience the music, food, and culture of Louisiana, plus great artists like the Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen, Latifah, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone, Shardy, and much more. Listen to Tommy, Newell, Scoot, and us here on Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest Password of the Day. Then to go to WWL.com/contest with an S and register to win a pair of tickets to the second week of Jazz Fest, plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle Passes. That's important, too. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. And we come back, we'll give you our daily password of the day right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on the first hour of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Ready to go party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to Jazz Fest. Today's password is Creole. That's Creole. Now go to WWL.com/contest with an S, enter that word, and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle Passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, Newell, Scoot, or us here on Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest Password of the Day to see amazing artists like the Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Trombone Shorty, and more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Let's see if we can go squeeze a caller in, go to Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Philip. Philip, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike, Charlie.
All right, Philip.
Mike, over the weekend, I was looking at one mock draft. And the person had the Saints, yes, picking it off, one of the top linemen in the first round. But he had the Saints picking the Texas wide receiver, Xavier Worthy. I thought Xavier might have played himself into the first round. Where do you have him projected to go?
Right on the borderline of round one and early part of round two. I mean, he sits basically right there on the border. So, man, if he get to the Saints – Man, you can't beat speed. Now, with him, he's got to learn how to get off press coverage because he's an awfully skinny guy.
So slim.
But, man, can he fly. So it would be surprising he would get to the Saints pick in round two. But if he were there, I don't think I could pass on him. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.